Yo, what's up, guys? Jonathan Bame here, and today we're going to be hosting the second MagicCon podcast, discussing the details of what this conference is, who's involved, when it is, and where it is. You can listen to the first MagicCon podcast with yours truly and Dave Buck at magic-con.org. You can check that out. I think it's in the news section of magic-con.org if you want to listen to that. I'm also joined today by Dave Buck, the more famous of the two Dan and Dave Buck brothers, and also by two presenters from MagicCon that are joining us on the line right now. We're going to get to them in a minute, but first I want to have Dave kind of explain to you guys what MagicCon is, what it's all about, who's involved, when it is, and where it is, for those of you that may not have heard the previous podcast. So Dave, what is MagicCon?
MagicCon is basically all our passions about magic combined into a conference. It's an intellectual approach to a magic convention. So rather than a bunch of back-to-back lectures explaining just tricks, we're going to bring in lots of different people, not just magicians, but scientists, psychologists, actors, lawyers, get as many people involved and to talk about their profession and hopefully how it can enhance and influence a magician's repertoire or whatever direction they want to take with magic. So it's definitely an intellectual approach to the standard magic convention, kind of along the lines of TED. We love TED and all the talks they offer, and we want to try and to bring that approach to the magic world and the magic community. So that's what MagicCon is about. The first conference will take place in San Diego on March 18th through 21st. It's a three-day weekend, and it should be a lot of fun. Look forward to it.
It's at the San Diego Bayfront Hilton is what the hotel is called?
Yes.
Okay, and if you want to, if you're listening to this and you need not familiar with this area, go to magic-con.org and you can check out more information about where the conference is, specifics about this hotel. The conference is held at the hotel, so you're going to want to stay at the hotel. Dave, you can mention this later, but there is a group rate for hotel rates that we'll get into at a later time. Dave, if you want to get into specifically who's going to be presenting at this conference and who we have on the line right now to talk a little bit about that.
We have lots of presenters lined up to talk at the conference. Starting off, I'll just go down the list. You can see everyone and read about them on the website, but we have Sebastian Clerc, Derek Delgadio, Daniel Garcia, Bill Goodwin, Guy Hollingworth, Chris Kenner, and Larry Fong will be doing a presentation on film. Chad Long, John Lubbock, Max Maven, Eric Mead, Apollo Robbins, J.C. Wagner, Michael Weber, and a few very special guests that we will save for later on, and a lot of appearances from other magicians that are just going to show up and, you know, be with us all and provide their knowledge to everyone. But we'd like to continue with this series of podcasts with our first guests. We have on the line with us today Eric Mead and John Lubbock. So we'd like to welcome them, and they can get into talking about what they can provide for our conference and maybe some ideas that you guys can expect and so on. So welcome, guys. It's glad to have you.
Well, thank you for having
me. First of all, Dave, I'd like to say, did I hear you shuffling cards while you were talking?
I did not mean to. I told myself before the call that I was going to leave them on the table.
Obviously, that worked out well.
You know, a four-way audio podcast is going to, there's going to be a difficulty in discerning who's who. So just for the record, this is Eric Mead speaking. This is what my voice sounds like. John Lubbock sounds like this.
Yeah, this is John Lubbock. Eric, this sounds like a magic convention designed for people like you and me. Both the lineup of performers and presenters and the sort of philosophy behind the conference, you know, has me very excited.
Me also. You know, I hope and trust that it's actually going to turn out to be the way it was described to me when I first committed to it, that it was a magic convention dedicated to the idea that magic should be taken seriously and that there are lots of different kinds of aspects of magic that are never looked at in a normal magic convention that will be looked at here. And so, yes, I'm very excited.
Yeah. One of the big lies at a lot of conventions or lectures is that, you know, lectures are about teaching and learning, and there really very rarely are about teaching and learning. They're just about revealing secrets and selling stuff. And, you know, revealing secrets is not the same thing as teaching. And so the idea that they're taking, although I think this convention will be a lot of fun, the idea that there are, you know, aspects to performing and psychology and all the other factors that go into a magic performance that people will be speaking about is, I think it's an approach that I've not seen at a convention that I think will be pretty great.
And these are things that lots of lecturers and magicians pay lip service to, I think. My lecture has a lot of philosophy and performance in it, but the fact is that those things are just kind of glossed over in most cases. And let's get to the stuff that I do and the secrets I have and the things I have to sell. And I kind of add in a little bit of performance sounding stuff just to make it seem like a real lecture. But in many cases, not all cases, but in many cases, that just is not true. And that's my hope for MagicCon, that this turns out to be a genuine exploration into not only magic and magic secrets and performance, but into some of the things that we don't normally look at as a group.
Yeah. Now, at this point, the conference is about 6 months or so away. Do you know yet what you will be speaking about or presenting, or are you going to be figuring that out in the next few months?
I have no idea, but I'll speak about it. In fact, it's my general MO, even when giving talks to groups where you would think preparation was everything. I kind of am preparing up until the last minute and sometimes make changes, big changes, the day before it happens. So
yeah.
What I can tell you is I'll talk about whatever is interesting to me at the time and what seems relevant to that event once I'm there and seeing how it's going and seeing what the other people are talking about.
And you have a lot of experience speaking not just to magic conventions but also to other groups. I've seen video footage of you speaking to, what is it called, the EG?
The EG, the Entertainment Gathering, which is started by the same guy that founded TED. His name is Werman, Richard mm-hmm. Werman. And he founded that 4 years ago and then turned it over to the guy who runs it now named Mike Holly. And uh-huh. It's essentially TED conference, except it is all entertainment focused. And people from various disciplines, singers and dancers and musicians and also engineers and artists, they all come out and they talk about whatever interests them. There are no rules except that it must be interesting. And I talked about mystery at yeah. the last EG conference, and you can, in fact, look that up online somewhere. I'm not sure where. But it's out there, and people have seen it some, and those that haven't, you know, you may want to look it up, or you may not care.
Do you have any examples of anybody you've seen from a discipline outside of magic or performance that you found really interesting or inspiring in a way that actually could apply to or influence your magic?
Many. Many, yep. Too many to name, but I won't leave it at that. Josh Bell is a world-class, probably one of the
player.
Top five or ten violinists in the world. And he gave a performance of a Bach piece, and in his introduction to it, he said he's been working on and playing this piece since he was a teenager, but has never recorded it, because every time he plays it still, he finds new things to bring out and new things to think about, and hasn't yet figured out, after 20 or 25 years of playing it, exactly what he wants to put down as a permanent record of it. And I couldn't help but think about the difference between that approach by an artist and the current crop of young magicians who are anxious to get their ideas into print and onto DVD, and the kind of difference that represents really spoke to me about part of what I think is actually wrong with magic today.
Yeah,
that makes sense?
That does make sense. You know, I write reviews for Magic Magazine, and we've seen a real shift in the marketplace in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years of, you know, people that have been in Magic for 3 years putting out DVDs for the people who have been in Magic for 2 years. And, you know, it used to be that you had to, that you would hope people would achieve a certain status or knowledge before that they turn around and, you know, started to teach. And I don't know what point I have to make about that, but...
it's like a med school student kind of operating on a, you know, open heart surgery patient. You're not ready to do that yet. There should be some qualification, which there's obviously not in Magic, to do so.
Yeah, Magic involves so many different disciplines that it takes a long time to master. And I would hope that someone was well on their way to becoming a master before, you know, they thought they were ready to, you know, impart their wisdom. I mean, unless you've been doing it for a decade, I don't know that you have a whole lot to offer.
You have to be careful there, because you know what? There are people with different kinds of skills, and there are young guys coming up that have things to offer, moves or routines or ideas that should be listened to and that really do have something to say. But it's that idea of immediately rushing the idea out before it's really had a chance to simmer and to stew and to develop that I was kind of pointing at with the example of Josh Bell.
Well, okay, yes.
If you look at the list of speakers that Dan and Dave and Sid are bringing to MagicCon, I think you're going to see a wide variety. Some young guys who have cool ideas, and it'll be fun to listen to them talk about their ideas. And then some seasoned people who can talk about performance and philosophy at a deeper level. And I think, I hope, that what we're getting is a really good mix of that for this convention. And with permission to not just focus on the things that are traditionally seen as fun.
Yeah.
Not that this won't be fun. I didn't mean to. That was like a conversation.
There will be
not
a
that
jump
start. It won't be fun.
Yeah, Dave and I talked about this. Dave and I talked about this, and there will be a jump castle, just to clear that up, because I know John was asking earlier.
There will be a what? A jump castle?
Yes.
You know what? You did make a good point, Eric, and that is, you know, it's not so much, I made it sound like, you know, young people don't have anything to offer, and that's not what I meant, but as you pointed out, there is people have a tendency to rush things into print or, you know, onto video. Oftentimes we see things that, you know, magic is a performance art, and we see things, people are selling things that they've, you know, literally never performed for other people. It might be an interesting idea. There might be some validity to it, but until you've really road tested it and, you know, taken it under all different, you know, circumstances and conditions, you know, you really don't know all there is to know about something that you then want to turn around and offer to the world.
And I would suggest that you never know all there is to know about, you know.
Yeah.
There is a trick, a standard classic trick in my repertoire that I have been doing for 25 years that just 2 weeks ago I found a little touch on that has been thrilling me for 2 weeks because I thought I knew everything about it. And suddenly it's like, oh my, no one else will ever notice this, but it's going to give me a secret tickle every time I do it.
You know, I have sort of an example of that as well. I just yesterday finished up a week at the Magic Castle, and I did I'll send you his email. So I just finished a week at the castle. The act was, I did four routines, three of them were brand spanking new. And I did one routine that I've been doing for at least a decade. And I've done that trick easily 1,000 times, at minimum 1,000 times. And just this week, I actually finally really defined what the magic moment is, which is really, in a trick, pretty important to know what the magic moment is all about. And I finally sort of answered that question in a satisfactory way. So... You know, always, improve. always, you know, strive for perfection and never reach it.
I want to go back for just a second to that point about young people and what they have to offer, because I really don't want to sound like, you know, the young guys with ideas aren't as important as the guys who have been performing for 20 years. Magic has always been, I think, a meritocracy, where if you have some brilliant idea, no matter what your age or where you come from or the color of your skin or your religion or anything, you can have a seat at the table tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
A related question to that I was thinking of a second ago, and Lovick, if you and Eric can speak on this, is you were talking about young magicians and creation and meeting of the minds that we want this conference to be. A lot of young magicians, I mean, speaking on behalf of myself, when I was growing up, I didn't have any magicians around me. And Eric, you were just talking about how influential even seeing related arts can be towards development of your own. You were talking about that a few moments ago. If someone is young coming to a convention like this, I think it's an opportunity. This is not like TED, where it's difficult to get into and it costs thousands of dollars. And, you know, I think there's a, you know, some test involved in that, a physical fitness test of some sort. But this is something that for $199, $299, anyone can come to. And we're hoping there is a youthful turnout to this, as well as, you know, all generations of magic. But from your perspective, what kind of influence and what kind of impact could this conference have on someone that's new, that's young in magic, but serious about magic? Could this conference have on them? What kind of effect could that have? And conversely, what do you think the older generation of magic, the more seasoned generation of magic, can learn from the younger generation of magic if they were to meet, and when they do meet, at a convention like this?
May I go first?
Please.
Not knowing what this convention will actually be like and how it will be run and what the formats will be, it's hard to guess exactly the answer to your question. But I could suggest that just being exposed to the idea that there's more to magic than just methods and just effects and just novelty, that there are deeper levels, and that someone like Larry Fong, who's a cinematographer, great work on the Watchmen movie. I've met Larry. He's a great guy, really interesting. He gave a talk at a little conference I was at about camera movement and how that relates to stage performing, and it was really terrific. And does it apply to everyone? I think not only does it not apply to everyone, it applies to very few. But just hearing someone talk at that level about our art and bringing in other ideas will be tremendously, if not practically valuable, certainly inspirational to anyone who's interested in magic as a performance on any level.
And I think it's also, you know, speaking on behalf of, you know, just meeting other people that are young in magic at Magic Live a few weeks ago, and I was meeting guys like Benjamin Earl. I remember meeting I was very impressed by him, and just kind of seeing this a group of people. But I think especially coming from the perspective of a young person, I grew up with not a lot of magicians around me, to be able to see any other magician was amazing, was an incredible experience for me, especially someone knowledgeable. And if I were at a younger age than I am right now, able to meet like this kind of group and just be around this caliber of thinkers for a weekend, I think that would be literally a transformative, life-changing experience for me. And would have made me take magic a lot more seriously at a younger age than I do now, just because of being around that group and learning about that. And it would have also inspired me, which is, I think, what we hope to do with this convention.
I think in a certain sense, I was very fortunate because I grew up when the goal as a magician, as a young magician, as a just starting out teenage kid magician, was to put together a show and to perform. And I think that there needs to be a renaissance in that idea, that magic is a performance art, and really the highest level of achievement is not to have your set of DVDs and your book out and to be able to lecture to, you know, the IBM SAM conventions, but to be able to really do a show, I believe, is a much higher and better goal than what I see a lot of the young people working towards now. And I don't mean that as an insult or as a denigration. It's just the way the market has kind of worked in the last 10 to 15 years, and I get it. But personally, when I talk to young people, especially, I think everyone on the line here saw me at Magic Live give my little five-minute talks. Those were all aimed specifically without, I didn't say it out loud, but they, in my mind, they were all aimed at the young people in the audience and trying to kind of get them on board with it. It's fine to make some money and do your DVDs and stuff, but really, if you ask me, you should be working on a show and putting together a performance. And it's one of the things that I might talk about at MagicCon.
Yeah, Eric, one of my favorite stories or rhetorical answers regarded the two letters that you received from a kid, and they ended up being from the same kid, but after, you know, conversing with you for a year or 2 years, however long it was, you know, there was a dramatic improvement in his knowledge and respect for our craft. And it's just amazing what, you know, reading magic books will do.
Well, you go ahead.
But I think you're making a very interesting statement that I applaud. And the fact that the dealer's room at this conference is going to consist of exactly one dealer, and it's going to be Andy Greggett, who sells magic books.
I didn't know that, and that is awesome.
Yeah. The part I hate most about magic conventions is the dealer room. It's distracting, it's busy, it's noisy, it's gross. I hate it. So, and at a dealer room, the only booth we're ever hanging around is the book dealer. So why not just have an exclusive room for Andy Greggett, the best collection of books? That's all you guys get. That's all you need.
I think the reason
why that's an awesome idea.
I think the reason why that's kind of the congregating point of most magic conventions is that's just where everyone goes. That's where they see the new cool stuff, and that's where, you know, when there's not a lecture going on or anything like that, that's the only place you can go. Whereas our goal with this, I think the vision here is we're going to have a ton of events and workshops and everything like that going on at all times. But just meeting everybody is the goal, and just meeting of the minds like this, young magicians mingling with the older generation of magicians, vice versa, learning from each other, regardless if you're talking to a magician, if you're talking to someone that's into psychology, someone that, you know, there's all over the place. Paulo Robbins, we're talking to about coming to this, and he's speaking, I think, in a week or so, 2 weeks, at a neuroscience convention.
Actually, Apollo and I are doing that talk together.
Wow, okay, so there we go.
It's
in Chicago, right?
It's in Chicago. Yes, it's the Society for Neuroscience annual meeting, and we are doing a program that they call, what do they call it? Well, I can't remember what they call it. They have a very specific title for it, where what it means is people outside of the neurosciences reach out and show connections to neuroscience and other fields. And Apollo and I are talking about brain research and conjuring, and where if you drew the Venn diagrams of neuroscience and conjuring, there's an overlap. And there's been some publicity in the last few years. A lady named Susanna Martinez-Conde has been doing a lot of research in her lab with her partner, Stephen Macknick, about visual systems and how magicians manipulate people's visual systems and what magic has to say to neuroscience about brain science and vision. And so they asked Apollo and I to come talk to them. We're going to talk for 2 hours about magic and where it overlaps with neuroscience. And Apollo is going to continue on the theme, I think, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he's going to continue on the theme of vision and attention and misdirection, and talk about his work as a pickpocket and steals and how he gets into people's space without them knowing. And I'm going to talk about the malleability of human memory and how magicians manipulate that.
Wow, sounds great.
I think it will be great. I think it will, you know, there's 2 weeks, 3 weeks out from it, it's hard to say if it will be great, but every indication is it should, at the very least, be interesting. But it's a huge, huge hall and a lot of people, and I don't know how many of them will be interested in this coming in. So we have some performance things we're going to do, which kind of speak to our topics, just to be a show as much as a talk. And then hopefully a bunch of neuro brain scientists will get very interested in the idea that magic has something to say to them.
Do you know if that's something that's going to be recorded and available to everyone to watch?
It will be recorded. I have the third draft of my release in front of me right now. In fact, I was looking at it right when you called. And it looks like we're finally coming to terms on how it will be recorded and how it will be disseminated. So very likely it will be available after the talk at some point, either on the Society for Neuroscience website, or they might release it even to YouTube for a TV or one of those, you know, kind of intellectual YouTube channels.
That'd be great.
So, Eric, did you get any or much direct feedback from your rhetorical answers, which were the short presentations you gave at the recent Magic Live convention?
I got some, not a lot. I'd say I got a total of maybe 30 emails, mm-hmm. and most of them were just kind of puff emails. Hey, really enjoyed you. It was great to see you. It was nice to meet you. This one or that one really spoke to me more than another. But I got a handful, five or six, really deeply interesting emails about one or the other of the talks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the one that sparked the most discussion and debate was the talk about digital piracy, which I don't think is something we need to definitely talk about today here in this forum. But that seemed to strike a chord with both sides of the argument to the point where they were inspired to write me that I'm an idiot or write me that I'm, you know, very perceptive.
Yeah. Well, you could be a perceptive idiot.
Yeah, I've been accused of worse.
Yeah. And on that note,
Lovick, switch the sides here.
Sure.
What you've obviously talked a lot to Eric about what his plans are, what his thoughts are on this conference. What are your own? What do you plan to talk about? Do you know what you're going to talk about?
I think I do know what one of my presentations is going to be. Is at this point, I've got something planned that the working title is "Dear Mr. Sadowitz."
And I like it already.
It was inspired by the fact that over the course of Magic's history, there have been many great correspondences that have gone back and forth. And I'm going to gather several exchanges, either via, the old-fashioned snail mail, or email exchanges, or back and forths that have happened on Magic forums. And I and one or two or maybe three other people will read these almost like a reader's theater. And I'm going through and picking some of those classic correspondences. And it's mostly I'm picking ones that I think will be fun and kind of outrageous. So I think this is a presentation that will be more on the fun side than the intellectually stimulating side. But Dear Mr. Sadowitz is what I have planned, or one of the two things I have planned for the conference.
I think,
and John, where are your sources for this correspondence? Are you just putting out like an open call to friends for?
Yeah, I've asked a few people. I haven't. I'll be putting out the word more in the next couple months. But I've asked a few people for ideas, and if you, after this call,
I was just going to say, when I was a teenager, there was no email, and I was a tremendous correspondent with anyone that I thought was interesting in magic at the time and that would take the time to write back to me. And I have reams of letters from Carol Fox and Paul Harris and Di Vernon and on and on and on and on and on when I was a kid, asking questions and trying to find my footing as a magician that may or may not be relevant to you or to what you're talking about, but I'd be happy to let you look at that.
Yeah, well, yeah, we should
probably
definitely talk.
Probably there's nothing less interesting to a podcast listener than Eric Mead's old mail.
No, I think it's a great concept. I love that idea. I think this past week alone, I remember two letters that I had read online that people had published. The first was a letter from Teller to Brian Brushwood. I'm not sure if you guys had seen that, but
I did see that.
I love that. I thought that was, I learned a lot from it, and it was awesome that Teller allowed him to release that. The other one was not magic related, but it was a letter from Simon Cowell of American Idol fame to his younger self, you know, to his, he calls it like his younger, cockier, more arrogant self that Andrew Main posted. And I found through that, and it was actually interesting. It was the advice that he would have given to his younger self, you know, knowing then, which I think in a magic context might be interesting for young magicians to hear from someone of your, you know, the stature of either of you two. So I love that idea.
I'm also going to be reading from Dan and Dave's junior high diaries.
Their yearbook.
I did not know about this.
Yeah, they called Kevin Mitnick, and your email account's been compromised, and they have found all of your love letters to each other over the years.
Yeah.
In the words of Meg Ryan, I have no response to that.
Dave, before we wrap this up, I know you wanted to talk about registration for this conference. We've not announced the registration date yet or when registration will be. So can you talk briefly about how much registration is and when they can register, how they can register, any other information?
Yeah, about a week ago, we posted some information about registration on the site. We gave the price of the conference. The price will be $299. However, for the first 100 people to register, it's only $199. So make sure you're one of the first 100. Either follow us on Twitter or join our mailing list and make sure that happens. Registration will go on sale October 19th. It's a Monday, and it will go live at noon Eastern.
And what was that website again, Dave?
It's magic-con.org.
magic-con.org for those that can't understand.
I love that throughout this podcast, another added entertainment benefit is if you can just guess the type of shuffle that Dave is completing at any given time. I think that was a Hindu shuffle, I believe I just heard.
Yes, you heard the Hindu shuffle. That's how poorly he executes that move.
Thank you.
Well, good. All right, well, we're going to be doing a lot more of these podcasts. Obviously, huge thank you to Mr. Lubbock and Eric Mead for joining us on this one. We're going to be doing more podcasts with other presenters in the coming weeks before registration goes live. Dave, is there anything else you want to add to this or any of you guys before we go?
No, thank you very much, guys, for being here, for taking the time.
I have one question before I go. This is Eric.
Definitely.
Why is he Mr. Lubbock? And I'm Eric Mead.
Sir Eric Mead of Lancelot.
I'm not British. I just want to be afforded the same respect as Handsome Jack.
Well, you have to earn it, Eric.
You have to earn it by posting Facebook pictures of yourself in purple tracksuits. It was a litmus test.
Thank you guys very much for having me.
Awesome.
Thank you.